You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
With one great smashing blow, God raised his son from the dead.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, by the power that raised your Son Jesus from the dead, turn our lives around that we may see and know you in your Son Jesus. Forgive us our sins and give us real life by your grace in Jesus, your Son. Fill our lives with the joy of resurrection by faith in your Son Jesus, that all may know and have the power of his resurrection in their own lives. In your Son Jesus, we pray. Amen. You gotta eat it to believe it, the man shouts to the camera. He's the owner of Cookie's Steak Pubs, hustling his product. He doesn't offer to give you your money back if you're not satisfied. Actually, he's not selling the steak at all. He's selling the sizzle. For that, he asks you to make the touch test. Without the actual touch, he implies, you will never believe it. The touch test has become the infallible standard of the 20th century. Real life is simply a matter of touching, or feeling, or eating, or driving, or what have you. Unless you can feel, or touch, or know through smell, taste, or sight, it isn't really worth believing. In fact, touching is believing. Thomas, a 20th century man, was missing on that first evening when the Lord appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. John tells us simply that when the disciples saw the Lord, they were very glad. But Thomas, one of the 12, the one called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Some of the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and unless I touch my finger to the print of the nails, and unless I put my hand on his side, I will certainly not believe." People in the 20th century ought not be too critical of Thomas. He was a man before his time. Although he had lived with Jesus, heard him teach, watched him heal, experienced his loving touch, this was something Thomas could not believe. People don't rise from the dead every day of the week. Thomas had settled for the ordinary, which is death. He was not prepared for the extraordinary, which is life. For that, even the Lord would have to pass the touch test. "Unless I touch him," said Thomas, "I simply won't believe." When an insider like Thomas insisted upon a money-back guarantee, probably we should not be surprised that the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ would be received with a certain amount of skepticism today. As Thomas found out, the skepticism is not justified. Skepticism may be justified when a product is sent to you for a 30 days trial with the promise, "If you aren't satisfied with its feel and texture and service, we'll send you your money back." Often, sending it back requires too much trouble. You keep it anyway. The Lord doesn't let people off that easily. He comes back. He's alive. He's Lord. You'll have to put him off again and again. Nobody is going to change that. Skepticism is going to have to battle for its very existence in the face of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Others have died, and so did he. Praise God that in Christ the whole fullness of the Godhead should take up its residence, and by him to reconcile everything to himself through the blood of Christ's cross, with one great smashing blow at all the skepticism in the world. God raised his Son from the dead. By his own great glory, God gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It won't do any good to pass him off with skepticism, no matter how amused you may try to make your skepticism look. You can't get rid of him by hanging around on the fringes of discipleship. Here, tentative steps won't do. It's either the whole way or nothing at all. Faith in Christ plunges through the skepticism of touch and taste and feel. It becomes attachment to the living Christ. In that attachment, Christ's men always said, you find out what life is all about. This is life, to know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Being an out-and-out enemy of Christ won't do either. His enemies were defeated then, and they've been defeated ever since that time. Sometimes they have their little day, but it's a mighty small day with a mighty miserable outcome. Today, Bibles are being distributed throughout the world in over 1,680 languages, all telling the same story. Skepticism is overcome, futility is defeated, and faith in Christ not only survives, but lives on in greater splendor than ever before. That's why John told the story of his friend, his fellow apostle, and companion in the faith, Thomas, the twin, the one who had his doubts. A 20th century man. One thing you have to say about Thomas, he had the guts to speak up. He asked the questions other people would like to ask and are afraid to. He was the one who pressed Jesus on another occasion for more information when Jesus announced that he was prepared to go to a place which would be prepared for them, and that in his Father's house are many mansions. Thomas was the one who asked, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? It was not that Thomas was not interested in the mysteries of life after death, the kind of existence that is more than physical life right now. He wanted to know more. He wanted to be sure. Because Thomas asked his question, we have the Lord's great answer today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever believes in me has it all. It's hard, though, to get over the feeling that somehow you're being taken in. There's a lot of that in the world. And most people don't like to be patsies for every crackpot idea or scheme that comes along. It is human, and it is also the part of common sense to take a good look, and maybe a second look. Faith in Christ does not rule out common sense, but it certainly is more than common sense. It takes a leap toward life. Like the life which it reaches, faith is a gift of God. It comes to people from God himself. The good news of Christ himself is good news about him and good news from him. It instills within people the gift of faith and stirs within them the most characteristic expression of faith, which is love. Thomas was not a nasty man. He was not just stubborn and ornery. He wanted to know, and he found out. A week later, the Lord returned, and this time Thomas was with the company of the 12. The first thing the Lord did was to address Thomas. He did not upbraid Thomas, because he had not believed what the other disciples told him. He just said, put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand here and touch my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. We are not told that Thomas did any of the things the Lord invited him to do. He didn't have to. Thomas was an honest man. He was not a hypocrite, pretending to believe something of which he wasn't sure. In his reply to the Lord, there were both repentance and faith. Thomas said simply, my Lord and my God. That has been the confession of the community of Christ since the year one of the apostolic era. My Lord and my God. It is as simple as that, and just as profound. In this Jesus resides all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. In his death, God himself has provided atonement for the sins of people everywhere. In his resurrection from the dead, and in his lordship of the world, God himself offers a Savior who can be believed. Thomas will be the first one to say it. You don't have to see in order to believe. Indeed, the Lord went on to say to him, "Is it because you've seen me that you have believed? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The great preacher Chrysostom once said, "Thomas doubted that we might have faith." St. John tells us what happened that we might believe. "These things have been written," John said, "that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." Thomas drops his demands, dumps his doubts, forgets the touch test, which we all know is not the true test of real life. He comes through with faith, "My Lord and my God." Every great follower of Christ has had his doubts, those moments when he wondered, "Is it really true?" Through his doubts, Abraham went from Haran to the Promised Land. Out of his doubts, the centurion said to the Lord himself, "I do believe. Help me in those moments when I have problems with believing." Jesus Christ passes the touch test, but he asks for a great deal more. What Christ is looking for is faith. People of faith have been touched themselves by the risen and living Christ, the reigning Christ himself. You can see it in their lives as you can see it in Thomas from this day onward. "My Lord and my God," that changes everything. Thomas did not make Jesus Christ Lord. He did not make him God. Jesus Christ will be Lord and God whether you believe him or not. The only question is, are you prepared to go through life surrounded by doubts, beset by cares, uncertain of others and also of yourself, with your only comfort, a touch test that never fulfills its promise? In a way, I'm glad that Thomas demanded the touch test of the Lord. He doubted. That clinches in my mind that Jesus really died and really rose from the dead. He really died and he's really alive. He's Lord. Everything he promises and everything he gives is real too. Forgiveness, victory over the pettiness of the world, and life that can truly be called everlasting. He makes that clear to the whole world by resurrection from the dead and by his consoling and strengthening word. "I've been given all authority in heaven and earth, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." That promise is a witness today to the skeptical and unbelieving. It is open and honest, and the grace of God overcomes people even today with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. When all is said and done, it all comes down to this, to a living and personal faith. That's essential. Our thoughts are of our own manufacture. The grace of God is his own manufacture. Faith in Christ is the gift of God's grace, the antidote of God for your doubts and for those of all humanity. All from Christ the crucified, and all in Christ risen from the dead. Yes, it's true, as Thomas found out. "I am the way and the truth and the life," said Christ. Not a way, but the way. No, you will not be saved by eating a certain cereal or using a certain kind of soap. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. I can just hear our friend Thomas saying at this moment, "That is most certainly true." Amen.